the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Father, thank you so much. It's so good to worship you. So good. This is amazing grace. God, that you took our place upon the cross and you died for us. Lord, I pray this morning if there's somebody here who has not yet decided to follow you, Jesus, that this would be their morning. God, that we've sung songs about you. We've lifted our hands. We've clapped our hands. We've danced before you, Lord. And if somebody felt like they were on the outside, somebody felt like they couldn't be included, Lord, I pray, let them be included. Let them come into the family of God. Let them open their hearts to Jesus this morning, Lord. Through all that's been said, something that's been sung, Lord, that they would just find themselves a little closer to Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for what you can do in this service. I pray over Matthew and Andre right now that you would bless them as they share with us, Lord. And we thank you for this morning's service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, Matthew, you're excited, aren't you? Amen. Come on up here. I didn't even introduce you yet, Matthew. Come on up here. Hallelujah. This young fella has come into our church about a year ago, I guess, eh? Yeah. About that?
June,
right. Yes. Long time ago. Just in case you didn't know, he's got a brother down there that looks a lot like him. His name is Nick. And over at Citadel, I've mistaken Nick sometimes for Matthew. And Matthew, who comes into the church, and I just say, hey, I see you at church on Sunday morning, and Nick looks at me. So good to see you at church this morning, Nick. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. But this is an emphasis this morning of our youth, and they are sharing with us. Listen to their hearts as they share with us what they've gone through, what they're going through, what they're believing in Jesus. And so, Matthew, just go ahead and feel like you're with family here. Amen. Praise
God. Hello. How's everybody doing? Do you like your new spots? Yeah? Getting out of your comfort zone? Like I am. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about my testimony. And yes, I'm nervous. Yeah, but I have the Lord with me. Amen. So, John, can you scroll down? It all started at ninth grade. You'll probably notice one person, Andrea. And this is my friends. I got me. I got my brother. I got Seb and Sarah. And we still have our group. Seb left to a different school. And we seen him once. And we got very close, our group. And it was something. Andra decided to start a Bible study all Thursdays. And since I'm in the group, why not? Going to her house, we end up signing little names on like this board with the name Jesus with the symbol with the fish. And we end up writing our names. We were about 5, 6. And each Thursday, she would end up telling different names and books of the Bible. She ended up talking a lot about the Bible. At one point, she ended up introducing one of the songs, one of the singer that we're going to see called Manifest. And she ended up giving us tickets. And we were about 5, 6. And I ended up going there. And my first reaction was amazing. Because it was just love there. I felt in my heart it was just amazing. And we were jumping. And it was fun. Musing. And I wanted more. And I went and he stated, if you want, because had a cross on the corner, I think it was on his right, and to give your name to Jesus. And so that's what I ended up doing. I put my name, my Lord and Savior. And sadly, I didn't do anything with it after that. Like, yes, I've been going to the Bible study, but I never really know the Lord even more. And throughout 4 years, I end up going, Firehouse, but also I went to the youth center. The youth center is with nuns that end up doing community with kids. And we have like these bright yellow orange shirts showing that we're leaders, going around, having fun with kids, giving them snacks. It was fun. And this is what I'm actually still there. We actually went bowling yesterday with a bishop. His name is Terrence. It was fun. We had it was like glow lights and we were like shining and all that. It was fun. These two, this is when they end up talking about. We have Don Bosco on the right, and this is back to the 1800s. And this is like they end up talking about the first center. So Don Bosco is the one that started it. He's the one with the kids, the boys. He's the one that started the youth center with the boys. And on the left is Mary Mazzarello. And she's the one that got inspired by Don Bosco to continue, but with the girls. And this is how it ended up forming. But at one point, of course, they end up colliding with the man, with the boys and girls. And this is how the youth center actually began. And then at one point, yes, I went to the firehouse learning more about the Lord. And at one point, Andrea told me to go to church. She actually asked me before, except since I go to Catholic, and I'm assuming it's going to be the same thing that you stand up. Well, for us in our heads, we stand up, we sit down, we stand up, we sit down. That's the only thing that's in our mind when we go to those church. But I said no, but this time I wanted to say yes. So I end up going. And I got hellos and hugs by all of you. A bit weird, you know, because it was like out of my bubble type, you know, different. Like probably my brother's noticing too because he's new. And with the songs and everything, like, and, you know, Elvis and the drums, you know, my favorite, you know. I didn't say it yet, but you're awesome there. I was just looking at you and just drumming all out. But the songs, it just touched my heart. It was awesome, and I wanted more. So I ended up going to church, and I think I missed throughout the entire church years, or only 1 year, I think I missed one or two times, which that's pretty good, actually, because Lord brought, well, I got closer to the Lord, and it felt amazing every time. And yes, and I want to say something that with the Bible, I didn't want to read it, but it bugged me. It bugged me so much that I started reading it. I started on Matthew, and then John, and then James, because you told me to read James, and I read it really good. It's emotional. I love it. So I wanted more, so I ended up helping the church. Sometimes I go in the back doing the boards. Thanks. And I want to help the community. And I end up doing the drama truth, the Christmas play. It was awesome. George told me that I know every lines of everybody else. We end up dancing in the back, doing a little jig. If you scroll down, you can see the photo that we end up taking. That was our group. We had Linda as well, but she was gone talking to someone else, so I end up taking the photo. Hi, Linda. It was awesome. So with that, I'm glad I am serving the Lord. And I love all of you to bring me here at this very spot. And I'm blessed. Thank you. Now it's Andrea. Do 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 do.
I don't know why you were nervous, honestly. So, thanks, Matt, for sharing. So today I'm going to preach and talk to you about kind of a testimony, but a little bit added to it. So I want to start off by saying hi. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrea Thibault. I come from a Christian family. I am very blessed that I grew up with a family as amazing as that I have right now. I have amazing friends. They're so supportive, and they're just so amazing. I feel like definitely God put them in my life for a reason. I believe that any person that you meet, God put them in their life for a reason, because as I keep saying at Firehouse, there is no coincidence in God, because everything happens for a reason, whether we see it now or not. So I am one of the Firehouse leaders at this church. If those of you who do not know what Firehouse is, it's a youth group that we run over in the Firehouse room. And God is just so amazing. He's really been just present there, and it's just been completely amazing. So I want to talk to you about how I got here. I don't mean the van that my parents drove me here. I mean how I got here in my life. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents used to be the Firehouse leaders back when they were a lot more leaders. So I want to talk to you about that first. When I was finally of age to go to Firehouse, I got to meet all of the teens that were there, and there were a lot of teens. I got to know each and every one of them, and they're all so amazing, and I love them so much. I feel like definitely God put them in my life for a reason, and I love them so much to the point that they were my brothers and sisters. No doubt in my mind. I hope that we've made an impact in their lives, but I know that they definitely made an impact in mine. So I just feel my dad was one of the main speakers at Firehouse, and every time he'd preach, I would definitely feel God's presence and God's love and how he would make, how God would speak through my dad, and I just really look up to that. I look up to how my parents just had so much love and compassion for those teens that it was just unbelievable to me. I am so grateful to have my parents. They are just so amazing. So, now that you guys know a little bit about me, get into deeper, more details. Firehouse. I've been running it for about a year, along with my mom and Diane. Been going great. Amazing, actually, that one of our Firehouse teens ended up coming to church and getting deeper into the Lord. I want to explain to you something. For those of you who'd never been in the room, we have a little stage, and they have like spotlights type of thing, but I absolutely refuse to put those spotlights on for one simple reason, because it is not about me, it is about God. So I don't want anything for it to be about me as it was for my parents. They ended up stopping Firehouse because it was about them. For God to increase, they had to step down. God is just so amazing because even though not every teen that went there gave their life to Christ, there's still a seed. There's still a seed that way later on they can think back on what they heard. I want to prove a point here. So, I am not a pastor. I did not go for the education. Not yet, anyways. But even though you're not a pastor, you're not a youth leader, you're not a youth pastor, you're not a Sunday school teacher, it does not stop you from going out and speak about the Lord. Like I preached on Firehouse last week about how just one word, it might not seem such of a difference to us, but it might make a difference to them. Because God uses absolutely anything and everything. Even if we wish it would have never happened. Or at the moment, you kept wondering why. For those of you who know, on October 24th, 2016, my sister ended up going to CHEO. She had appendicitis and her appendix burst for about 7 days. She was a couple of hours away of going into septic shock and die. At the time, me and my brother, we were at school. So 2016, I never, ever carried my phone with me at school. It was always in my book bag because I didn't want to get in trouble by having it on me. So I just leave it in my book bag. I don't touch it. There's no point for me to touch it. But after we ate lunch, I felt like I should check my phone. And at the moment, that very second that I picked up my cell phone, I got a phone call from my mother. But what even amazes me more is that she didn't call me before and left a message. It was the moment I picked up my phone. And it was my mother on the phone telling me that Denica was going to CHEO. Obviously, I just knew that she was going at the hospital, but I didn't know to what extent. So I started bawling my eyes out. And I started thinking, after we got off the phone, at the time, my only friend that was actually Christian was Sarah. Unfortunately, she was not able to be here, but everything happens for a reason. So at the time, I just wanted my friend Sarah to be there so we could pray. But she was not with me at the time. But as I lock my locker and I start walking, she suddenly shows up. So we got the chance to go and pray. Talk about perfect timing. I believe that there is absolutely no coincidence in God whatsoever. I believe that He takes the good and the bad in your life and uses it for Him. God allows things to happen in our life for His glory. God could do anything, so He could have easily just healed Denica without having to go through those 3-month process. But there was a reason as to why she went through that. Whether it's ministering to the doctors, the nurses. But I know one of the reasons, and I thinking back, I realized one of the reasons was at the time she had stronger faith in God than I did. That was not okay anymore. So looking back, I realize that I wasn't at the place that I wanted to be with God. I changed that really quick. So her faith was stronger than mine. I worked on it because I seen that it wasn't as strong. If Danica wouldn't have went through what she went through, I probably wouldn't have had strong enough faith to start back up Firehouse. Or when I went to OVPC and I felt like the Lord telling me to become a youth pastor, my faith would not have been strong enough to do that. For my parents, they kept telling me that I should consider being a youth pastor, but then the thought of it was just, no, this isn't what I want. Who cares what you want? To be honest, it's what God wants. At the time when my parents were telling me that I should become a youth pastor and I should consider it, I didn't think I could do it because I suffer with anxiety. Not anymore. Anytime I would have presentations or speak in front of people, I would get so much anxiety to the point that my doctor told me to make sure to drink water in case I pass out. But then I felt like I should work on it. Because one day my dad was sick and he was supposed to preach at Firehouse. I really wanted and I felt like I should take his place for that night. So then I did what I thought God wanted me to do, and it was. And then I was very nervous because I've never done that before. So we prayed before to make sure that all the anxiety left. Oh, it absolutely did. I was not nervous. So I started preaching about how even if you're not following the Lord, you still have a light. But the more you get deeper into the Lord, your light starts brightening up and up and up. And you can see the surroundings around you. Because when you're not following God, you are blinded by the truth. But when you have God, you could see everything around you. There's this movie that we played here at the church called To Save a Life. Anybody have seen it before? Raise hands. Okay. So that movie, I really like it because it's very touching. And I like the part, sorry, spoilers. I like the part where one of the teens ended up giving his life to Christ. But then he came to see the youth pastor and telling him how ever since I gave my life to Christ, my life has just been a complete, utter mess. He started explaining, telling him what the problem has been in his life. His parents were getting a divorce. His friends are no longer his friends. And this huge thing happened in the movie, which I will not say in case if you guys are interested in watching the movie. But then the pastor reminded him that all your life was still falling apart even before you gave your life to Christ. It's just right now you could see it. You could see that it is. So don't give up just because the road is tough. I know that in my life I've had some roadblocks, some setbacks. A lot of people think that I am a perfect church girl. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. At school, starting about 9th grade, I used to be known as the Marvel girl. Those of you who do not know, it's the superhero with Captain America and all that. Love superheroes. Absolutely. Love the concept. Love, just absolutely love it. I was known as the Marvel girl. I didn't want to be known as the Marvel girl. Because if I died today, that at the time, I wouldn't have been recognized as God girl or as follower of Jesus at the time because they weren't fully aware and I was not showing my faith. And obviously people knew I talked about Jesus, but I didn't go deeper into it. But I really wanted to change that. And so I did. Any project that I had the chance, I put God in it right away. anything that I could see that I had the opportunity to mention God, or just grace, or just anything like that, I made sure I did it. To the point that Matthew was playing video games with some of the classmates in my English class. And they were talking about me, but they couldn't remember my name or something like that. And then somebody said, "You know, the church girl." Matt told me that, but then he was probably thinking, I don't know what you were thinking. But he told me that, and I went, "Amen." Because, yeah, okay, I'm a church girl, but it's a lot better than being referenced as Marvel. It's a step closer. Because, yeah, those superheroes, they're all fictional, but there's only one real superhero who's literally died on the cross to save your sins. A lot of people think that, well, how can God understand my problems when I'm going through? But then you have to think, he sent his son onto the earth to die. He experienced being hungry. He experienced being betrayed. He experienced being beaten and whipped. He experienced dying on the cross to save your sins. My first Bible verse that I have ever learned was John 3:16. It's, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Because I personally could not even imagine to be able to send my one and only Son to die on the cross for other people. That just shows the amount of love that he has for each and every one of you. So I think that us as Christians, we should always show God's love, because we should want people to have more of God, to want more of God. Because a lot of times we sit here and we're comfortable with what we have. There's a reason why I asked the pastor to ask you guys to switch seats. Pastor told me that it was very hard to have people change from their seats, but I could clearly see that a lot of you have, which I'm very proud and thankful for that. I wanted you guys to change seats because I wanted to get you guys out of your comfort zone. Because a lot of times in our faith, we are very comfortable. Like the pastor says, we're comfortable where we are, but we should keep going closer and closer to the fire. Because I know that if I die today, I know where I'm going. I know exactly where I'm going, but my mission right now is to make sure other people know where they're going. I had about 4 pages written down just as notes. Yeah, no. I'm not a note person. I'm dyslexic, so reading or writing is not my thing. So I'll do a couple notes, and I'll write down what I feel God wants me to say. But a lot of times, I feel like what God really wants me to say is kind of in the spite of the moment. I have an idea as to what he wants me to say, but then it gets elaborated even more because what I say is not me, it's what God, because I don't want it to be about me, because it is about him. Anybody remember when me and my family went to OVPC, Ottawa Valley Pentecostal Camp? So one Sunday... Not Sunday. One day in the evening, I ended up going alone because they wanted to take a break, but I just felt like I should go with some of my friends that I made there. And so I ended up going. I'm so used to sitting in the front that when they didn't want to sit in the front, I was out of my comfort zone. Because I'm so used to being in the front and center, and being there, that I couldn't see the difference in between being further back and in the front. I remember the pastor was preaching, and then there was worship that went on. And my favorite, well, it became my favorite that night, my favorite worship song is "O Come to the Altar." Because it demonstrates how God wants you. He really desperately wants you. He has so much love and compassion, and it's unbelievable that he wants you, and that he feels hurt to see other people not following. Us as Christians, do we sometimes feel bad or like kind of not angry but like upset when you see somebody that you've talked to about God and they go completely back into the world and doing all these things? Don't you get like angry and upset? Can you imagine God? Because he loves us so, so much that he wants all of us to come to him. I feel like us as Christians, we should always allow God to use us to outreach to other people. Doesn't have to be in a church. It could just be by somebody walking by, a coworker, somebody at school, or somebody you don't even know. I want to talk about hesitation. So I've hesitated a lot in my life, always overthinking, thinking if I should or not, like approaching somebody or asking them to pray for somebody. At first, that was a big thing for me. I was hesitant on doing that. But then it comes back to, worst comes to worst, they say no. But the best case scenario is you get to pray over them. Now, a lot of times when I ask people if I could pray over them, they'll normally say yes just to make me happy. They said yes not because of the intention that they want you to pray for them, but the intent that to make you happy. Well, that's still good enough because then you have the opportunity to pray over them. And maybe at the moment they didn't want it, but as they hear you and they could feel God's presence, then that can make a difference. We should always go out and just talk to people. Whether it's, hey, I seen you. How you been? Or ending your conversation instead of saying, goodbye, have a nice day. Goodbye, have a blessed day. Because then it changes the mindset of somebody else, because then they realize, oh, there's something different about that person, considering that they didn't say nice, they said blessed. Then it brings up the question. I'm pretty sure everybody gets compared to a religion. I don't like religion. A lot of people, they come up to me and be like, oh, you're very religious. In my head, I'm like, no! And then I started thinking, okay, they compared me to religion, but at least it gives me an opportunity to explain the difference. It gives me an opportunity to speak about the Lord. And I have this book called Jesus versus Religion. And the whole book is about how the world, the difference between religion and Jesus. How there's a world version of Jesus and how there's a Jesus, which is the real Jesus. The difference in between the both is that the world Jesus that the world created is, you give your life to Jesus, everything will be perfect. No problems whatsoever. A walk in the park. But nowadays, is a walk in the park still safe enough? So the difference in between both, he was stating how the world Jesus, the world's version is, everything will be perfectly fine. I will give you this, this, and this. But no, in reality, it's the real version, which is in the Bible, which is that actual Jesus is, follow me and you will be treated as I am treated. Just because we are Christians, we will always be persecuted for it. Should we run away from it? Should we be afraid of it? Because in Psalms 91, the whole chapter is about how God is there to save you. God is there to make sure that you don't hurt your feet on the stones, that the arrows during the day will not hurt you, that the plague during the night will not touch you. And it is true. If you do something for the Lord, He will be there to guide you and help you and to save you. You are always protected by Him if it's for the Lord. I mean, if, because a lot of people, they go ahead, like my dad made an example, Halloween. I don't know if some of you do Halloween, but I personally don't. And there is things in the Bible that tell us we shouldn't do certain things. But that people grab the Bible and go, Psalms 91, I'm protected, even if I do this. But when it comes to asking for forgiveness and repentance, you got to try not to do it again. So if you do have the intent of doing it, but be like, I got Psalms 91 with me, I'm all good, that's not how it works. Because you got to make sure that what you do is for the Lord and not for the wrong reasons. Going back to perfect timing. Like I said, the cell phone, the phone call from my mom. Then there's Sarah. And then actually, this date, February 18th, is actually perfect timing. Can any of you guess why? Other than the people who know the answer? Who here knows that I'm going, that applied to Master's Bible College to become a youth pastor? So I applied. And then I started thinking over the week, I was like, oh, that's too bad. I did get an answer back. At least I wanted to do the announcement on the Sunday that I'm preaching. Perfect timing. Friday at 3:10 in the afternoon, I got a phone call from Master's Bible College and Seminary congratulating me for the acceptance into the college. God is amazing. No doubt in my mind. But because you are doing something for the Lord, Satan doesn't like that. So he tries to make you change your mind, or to start doubting yourself, or to start doubting God. I'll let you know that he did try, but he absolutely failed. He tried to make me think that because I'm dyslexic, because I have ADHD, and because I have all these things that I couldn't do and I couldn't get in to the college. But then I started thinking to myself, if this is really what God wants, then I will get accepted into the college. So I'm glad to let you guys know that I actually did get it accepted. The minute Friday hit, I made phone calls to everyone. I'm just so happy and grateful for the Lord to give me the opportunity that I have right now. And just speaking in front of you is just so amazing. So I just wanted to let you guys know. Satan doesn't like it when you are on fire for God. So he tries. I have determined and I realize that whenever I am on fire for the Lord and whenever I am doing something for the Lord, he never attacks me physically. Psychologically, that's a different story. But I've determined and realized that if it is physically, it's through my family. I'm sorry, I'm going to put you on the spot here. My mom has been having problems with her head. She's been getting huge, intense migraines. Ear, the head, and the her tooth in the back. My dad has diverticulitis. For those of you who do not know, he might be going to the hospital after this. But what I don't understand is as to why both of you did not get up and ask for prayer. Because even though we are Christian and we are the example, it should not stop us from asking for prayer. So, whether you want it or not,
as she said, there's no coincidence in God. He uses all things. So if we would have got up and asked for prayer, she wouldn't have put us up here. So, Pastor, Andrea, Board, Stephanie, me, can we get prayed upon, please?
Can we do it right now? Yes. And I would like to invite anybody else who didn't get up, but who should get up, even if you don't think it's that big of a problem, I still want you to get up and ask for prayer. God is good. And all the time. So, remember when I was talking to you about or come to the altar? Can I ask the worship team to So I asked the worship team if they could play that song, because that song is very dear to me and I feel like the Lord does speak through it. So I want for you guys to just listen to it and forget everything that is around you, any problems that you have, anything, and just concentrate on Him.
Jesus.
The altar,
thank you, Lord.
The Father's arms are
You know, I believe this morning, as we've heard, a life that has a destiny in Andrea and Matthew, that I believe that God has got a destiny for each and every one of us. And as we've heard so much this morning, that we're not here by chance or coincidence. And I believe that every one of us are here this morning for the reason that Jesus wants to get to know you better, to go deeper in your life. And if you're here this morning, maybe you've gone through all the church motions. Maybe you've gone through all the religious things, and you've done all the things that you thought were right. But that's not what Jesus wanted. He just wanted you. He just wanted you. He doesn't care about all those things we do, even though they may be good and sound and all that. I mean, as 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about, I could give all the money to the poor. I could give all these things, but if I don't have love, what have I got? This morning, I just want to put this to you, because I believe that you're here by the reason that Jesus wants to have you here today. That if you have never, ever given your life totally over to Jesus, this is a good place to do it. It's a safe place. It's a church setting. If you've never, ever surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, if you've never prayed that prayer, Jesus, would you be my Savior? Here's an opportunity for you this morning. Anybody here this morning would have that feeling? Just put your hand up quickly. You want to give your heart to Jesus. Just go ahead, real quick, put your hands up. Yes, yes. Amen. Anybody else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a meaningful time. I mean, this is a day changer, a life changer. This is everything that Jesus wants to do in our lives. And we as a church want to give you that opportunity to come to the Savior. So let me pray this prayer of faith. And for just for helping those who have raised their hands this morning, would you, everybody, repeat these words this morning? Because this is a prayer of faith. Heavenly Father, I love you. I need you. I feel something here this morning. Thank you for opening my eyes. I want to open my heart now to receive you as my Savior. I'm tired of religion and religiousness. I want a relationship with you. Would you be my Savior? As I ask in faith, I know you come to be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Change my life. Change my direction. Make everything new. And I thank you. I praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer of faith, tell somebody. And start walking in that faith. Amen. Praise God. Andrea, can I pray over you? I believe that, you know, here parents are very proud. Could I say that? Are you proud of your daughter? Aren't you proud of her? Yes. You're blessed because of her. And before the service, Stephanie was asking me, Pastor, you've probably seen kids over the years, you know, that come in through the youth groups and all that and want to go to Bible college. And I said, yeah, I've had the opportunity of seeing that. And in fact, I told them one of Jonathan Kurtz. We just watched him a little while ago. He was a youth pastor. Now he's a assistant pastor. And he's on YouTube. If anybody wants to see a guy that was in our youth group, that he was a wild youth. He was about 6 foot some, and he used to take this little guy and roll him up like a ball and throw him to somebody else. And when we first went to Bathurst, New Brunswick, and saw this youth doing all these things, we said, oh, no. But here he is. He's a youth or a assistant pastor now, come through those things. So I'm very proud to see things like that happen. I'm proud of Andrea. We are all proud of Andrea as family. Amen. Praise God. So, Andrea, come on over here. And just stretch your hands towards her. Family, come out here and just pray over her. I mean, she was talking about how the devil comes against her and all that. I mean, that's just the beginning, Andrea. That's just the beginning. He's going to be on your back continually trying to disrupt and trying to take away and trying to do all kinds of things against you. So, God, we just come before you right now, Lord, and thank you for the call of God. Thank you, Lord God, that you have spoken into the heart of this young lady, Andrea. You have set her in motion, oh God, a life that is chosen to follow you to the deepest depths of everything that she will go through. We know that she will have some trying times at Bible college, sometimes even the essays and the assignments and all those things that she will go through, Lord. But you will raise her up. You will show her. And Lord, you have got the doors already set in motion to open for her for ministry in 3 years. So we thank you, Lord God. We just enjoy hearing this morning of what you're doing in her life. Lord, we're praying as a family of God here. We're praying over her. We're thanking you for her, raising her up. Here we are, just as a church, not even knowing what goes on from Sunday to Sunday. But God, you've been raising up this young lady over the Sundays, over the weeks, Lord God, to bring her to this place. And truly, God, we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. Thank you, Lord God, for having your hand upon her life thus far. And you will continue to have your hand upon her and upon this family, Lord. Bless them, Lord God, and thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Are you blessed today? Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being with us. Everything you've spoken into our hearts is true. It's yes and amen. And as we go from this place, Lord, lead us by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord God, every one of us can do something for the kingdom of God. So thank you, Lord, for the faith that we have in you, Lord. Change somebody's life because of the life that we have that has been changed by you. Thank you, God. Go with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.